Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, it's hard to forget the enormous controversy that followed the publication last year of the report of the Commission of Investigation into Mother and Baby Homes. Some survivors gave evidence under oath to the Commission, but more, some 550, gave evidence instead to a confidential committee. That testimony, it emerged, was not given the same weight as it was considered by the Commission not to meet robust legal standards of evidence. Many survivors felt they'd been misled and that their stories had been misrepresented or even ignored. So, under pressure last summer, Children's Minister Roderick O'Gorman said he would bring proposals to Cabinet for an independent expert to examine the report and those testimonies given by survivors through a human rights lens. However, today, the Irish Examiner reports that the independent review will not now happen. Instead, the department says a new initiative will be launched to allow survivors to tell their personal stories in accounts to be housed at the National Centre for Research and Remembrance, announced earlier this year. With more on this, we're going to hear now from Breda Murphy from the Tuam Mother and Baby Home Alliance and also from Labour Party spokesperson on children, Sean Sherlock. And Breda, I'll come to yourself first. You're very welcome to the programme this evening.
Thank you, Sarah.
How have your members, the survivors, been reacting to this news today?
Well, they're devastated, of course, but it's almost like it's expected because time and again, whether they are mother and baby home survivors, Magdalene Laundry survivors, or indeed from residential schools, they've been treated terribly by the state throughout decades. And the whole purpose of the Commission's report in the first instance was to hear the unheard voices. So in other words, they were to listen to the testimonies provided by those who had not spoken previously and those who were survivors. They had their own establishment narrative that they wanted to continue with. And that is quite obvious when the report itself was leaked to the Sunday Independent on the 10th of June 2021. The minister on that day, that Sunday, wrote to us. He was so concerned and he was putting in place an investigation as to the leak. Mm. We're now 18 months on. That investigation was being carried out by the Secretary General of the department and that never was published. So the investigation is by an independent human rights expert. So it is independent of government, and so we felt that we would get a fair hearing. But of course, now this is shelved in favour of survivors, again, putting their faith in a system that has denied them justice so far and that will hold their accounts within a museum or an alternative venue, but not within the offices of the government, where it should. The Commission of Investigation report has already been discounted by the survivors who took cases to the High Court last December and won. So therefore, the report should not stand as it does. And the only hope we had was an independent expert to review the testimonies and to concur with survivor experiences.
Okay. I know that you're saying that the report had this establishment narrative, but I know that the authors of that report said they couldn't use the testimony or they felt they couldn't use the testimony because of legal issues, because those testimonies weren't taken under oath and they weren't interrogated. They were taken as read. But I also know that survivors weren't given that impression at all when they gave their testimony in the first place. So just to talk through then what exactly was hoped from the independent human rights experts review. You've touched on it there, but exactly how would that have helped heal some of the hurt that survivors felt from the initial report?
Well, it would look and recognise the violation of the human rights of the victims, the people who had gone through these institutions, and it would look at a transitional justice mechanism. And therefore, it would also critically examine the testimony that had been provided by the religious orders, because to add insult to injury, what the commissioners actually said was that the testimony provided by survivors was actually contaminated. And that, you will remember, that Catherine Connolly from Galway had brought up in Dáil Éireann as a real insult. Now, the timing of this is also relevant, Sarah, because at the moment, the Dáil is in recess. Mm. And so we haven't got the opportunity. The Children's Committee, for instance, have supported us continuously, and I know you will have a representative on. But I know that were they in Dáil Éireann on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, that certainly under leaders' questions, Minister O'Gorman would have to answer to this. By the time that they return on the 14th, this another subject will have taken over. So timing is crucial many times, you know. And,
we'll hear from Sean Sherlock in a second from the committee to hear what he has to say about it. But I just want to put to you, Breda, what we heard from the department today, because we did ask Minister Roderick O'Gorman to speak to us this evening. Now, he wasn't available, but we did get a statement from the department acknowledging the deep hurt and disappointment of survivors. And it said, I'll just read out some of it to you. It said that although care was taken in the design of the confidential committee component to try and allow the truth as survivors wanted it told to emerge, the minister recognises that this has not happened for very many of them. The minister has been keen to address these concerns and had previously indicated the possibility of a review of the testimony offered to the confidential committee. Having considered the matter, the minister believes that a new initiative to support survivors to tell their personal stories so that it can be formally recorded and accepted as part of the official record provides the best opportunity for responding to the concerns of survivors in a meaningful way. And then it goes on to say, as you've mentioned, that those records are going to be housed at the planned National Centre for Research and Remembrance under the remit of the National Archives. Your response more specifically then, I suppose, to that proposal that seems to be coming from the minister now, why is that not what you want?
Precisely because, exactly as I said to the Archbishop in Tuam recently, this is a listening exercise again. Once more, survivors in good faith who come in from maybe the United States and the UK, as they did in this case, came across to give their evidence in good faith that it was being heard and accepted. And once again, discounted by government. But this time it will be held in an archive. And with all due respect, as I said to Archbishop Duffy, we are sick and tired of telling stories again and again, being re-traumatised, to find that so many are excluded from the proposed redress precisely because the government accepts the Commission's report. It discounts the right of some 24,000 that they themselves say are eligible, but that they will not give redress to. There are far more than 24,000. They admit that 34,000 right now will qualify for some form of redress, but that's for another day. Right now, to say that they will not appoint a human rights expert to review the documentation and the testimonial evidence provided by survivors is a kick in the teeth to every person who has contributed, who has gone out of their way, who has gone home and asked for a copy of the evidence they had provided as part of their testimony. To be denied that in the first instance showed that it was never a person-centred, a survivor-centred, a trauma-centred opportunity that the government should have taken on board. And they have been criticised by the United Nations Human Rights Committee on this time and again since they first drew up the commission how they would investigate, because they knew and they know today that to release this a week or so before they go into Dáil Éireann, when the people who support us most, who are in opposition and independent, that they are not across the hall able to challenge what Minister O'Gorman, what Micheál Martin, what Leo Varadkar are saying. It is an absolute insult.
Okay. But I will just say, in fairness to the Minister and the Department, I don't know, was this a formal release or is this on foot of questions from journalists? But I do take the point that given it's happening when the Dáil is not sitting and the Oireachtas committees are not sitting, it does raise the danger of it not getting the attention it deserves. Breda, will you stay on the line if you don't mind? We have Sean Sherlock as well on the line, Labour Party spokesperson on children, and you're welcome, Sean, to the programme this evening. Can you tell us, what is your reaction to that statement? I read some of it there from the Department of Children.
Well, I think in the first instance, it is very hard to disagree with everything that Breda has said there in respect of the timing of this. I'm very surprised that the minister has broken his promise The minister did give a commitment to appoint an international human rights expert to examine the written testimony, and it is now clear that he has done an about-turn, a complete about-turn on that. And that was the one mechanism, you know, that I felt from listening to survivors that people could have bought into as a mechanism to restore confidence. And that now has been cast aside. I can't understand how any minister would expect somebody who, I'm trying to put myself in the place of somebody who has gone through the experience of being in a mother and baby home. And if you were one of the 500 that gave evidence, you know, with legitimate expectations around how that evidence would be handled, and if you're now being told that the international human rights expert is not going to be appointed, but that you, if you want to give new evidence, that you must subscribe to a new initiative, which is yet to be determined what this new initiative is, and furthermore, that it would be housed in the National Centre for Research and Remembrance. I think that would be deeply traumatic for people. I'm sure the first time it must have been deeply traumatic, and I can't imagine that too many people are going to subscribe to that.
They have the option, I think, Sean, from what the Irish Examiner is reporting today, and from what the department's statement is saying, there would be an option for survivors to have the testimony that they had already submitted to the commission, to have that used in or as part of these new official record of, or this new official archive, I suppose, of testimonies, as opposed to having to give new testimony. So they don't have to give new testimony if they don't want to. Does that help at all?
Well, I'm not sure if that would inspire confidence. And the reason I say that, Sarah, is because if the groups who we take our soundings from, I mean, the committee, to be fair to the committee, has always sought to act in a non-partisan way. And just on Breda's point, I contacted our chair, Kathleen Funchin. I reached out to her earlier to see if there is any way that we could reconvene the committee before the Dáil reconvenes, so that we could bring the minister in, for instance, because I think the minister has questions to answer. Why was it that the minister issued, you know, brought a draft memo? Why did he draft that memo? The minister, in drafting a memo, as any minister would, which goes before cabinet, that signals the minister's intention to carry out, you know, what he has promised. Why is it that the minister is now stating that he is not going to carry out his promise? Mm. And why is it that, you know, there's no justifiable reason that I can see? He has not given a reason for that. He has not, you know, he must address the question being asked by Breda and others in respect of why it is that he took that decision.
To not go ahead, yeah. And again, what we know again from this Examiner article today is the journalist in question had put in an FOI request, which is how they found out about all of this. And they found this June 14th email thread about where the minister seemed to be looking for a draft outline of a proposed memo to government in relation to this. But it wasn't mentioned again then for the remainder of 2021. So it appears to have stopped at a very early stage from those documents that have been released.
But it's very hard then to be not to be cynical about that then. Was it the minister's intention to create the impression that he was going to appoint the international human rights expert to examine the written testimony? Was he then, you know, let's create this smokescreen that I'm about to do it, I'm going to deliver on my promise?
But there's no evidence of that, Sean, at this point. It does appear that there was an effort to do it. We'd have to be able to put that to the minister himself. I don't think we could subscribe sort of motives to him at this point.
But the question does legitimately arise as to whether or not it was a cynical exercise on the part of the minister. And I think that is a legitimate question. I'm not doubting the bona fides of Minister O'Gorman whatsoever in terms of what he has sought to do in his position as minister heretofore. But on this particular issue, there are legitimate questions in relation to why did he renege on his promise. We, as members of the opposition who sought not to be partisan about this, who sought to work with the minister on this, certainly did take the minister at face value when he said that he was going to bring in the international
expert. And you mentioned, Sean, that you have been in touch with the chair, Kathleen Funchin, of the committee to look for perhaps an early meeting of the committee and also for the minister to come before the committee. Where is that at?
Well, literally, in light of the Examiner article and in light of me coming on this programme today and in anticipation of the need to have this addressed prior to the Dáil reconvening. I thought the best thing to do would be to reach out to our chair. So I've sent Kathleen a message just now. I await a response. I hope to discuss it with her. I hope that other members will make a similar request. But I stand ready to reconvene. The Labour Party stands ready to address this issue, because I do believe that the Minister has questions to answer. And I do believe that, you know, if we can, as a committee, acting in unison, get the Minister to change his mind so that confidence can be restored, then I think, you know, we would be doing our job.
Just briefly to yourself, Breida, would you welcome that for the Minister to come before the committee?
Absolutely, I would, because I know that the committee have kept in touch with us regularly and we will hear back from them. But just one point there, Sarah, you have said that perhaps the testimonies as given, which were paraphrased, in fact, that those would be taken over to the new archive that is being created. Well, many of those who disputed what was actually taken and was presented did not, and in other words, it didn't represent their views. Some of these people, two of our own members have passed away in the interim since 2017. I know of others who have, who are connected to other groups. So not everybody is available to give their evidence again, even in the event that they feel they will be re-traumatised, but they would go through that again in good faith.
I understand.
If they felt there was something positive coming from it and they were being listened to. And I have to thank Deputy Sherlock for his support to
Breida, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Breida Murphy from the Two Mother and Baby Home Alliance, and also Sean Sherlock from the Labour Party.